Hello and welcome to the Everything BDSM podcast. I'm your host, Rope Tiger Daddy. This is episode number 8. And today we're going to talk about why BDSM and kink and DS in particular go wrong so often. You hear about relationships going wrong, obviously, on social media a lot. It's like it's a weird phenomenon that, you know, of course, over the past 10 years, like, no one gets broken up with and just goes quietly into the night. They come on social media and they talk about it. It's a little bit different with kink and DS because there's so many intricacies to it that make that a little bit tougher. It makes it a little bit more charged of a situation. So we're going to talk about that today. Just some of the experiences I've had in the past with things going wrong. Luckily, thank God, I've never had anything go severely. Well, I say I haven't had anything go severely wrong. I haven't been on the side where I've done something severely wrong. Is that to say I'm perfect? No, like, people are not perfect. I'm not perfect either. Been in some bad situations, but luckily things always seem to work out well, or at least somewhat well, but we'll get into that here in a minute. I haven't, in a couple podcast episodes, talked about my shop. Just wanted to remind everyone that I am the owner and founder of sharppointedthings.com. So check that out. We make a lot of sadistic toys, obviously sharp and pointed things. Again, the website's www.sharppointedthings.com, all one word. Really encourage you to check it out. If you enjoy my content, if you enjoy my stuff, you can support me that way and you can get something sharp and evil out of it. So getting into today's subject. So it seemed like when I first got on FetLife and first got on the forums and in the community, like, it's almost like that's the first thing you hear about. It's all the shit that's gone wrong. Like, obviously, you know, there's good and bad to that. There's good because when you're in a community, you want people to kind of help protect the newer members. So, you know, when someone's talking and saying, you know, hey, watch out for that guy, watch out for that guy, or watch out for that girl, or watch out for them, watch it. Don't go to their house, or don't go do this, or don't go do that. It's a beneficial thing, obviously. You know, some people are going to call it drama, and, you know, there's always drama in communities. Like, that's the one thing that I learned also fairly quickly, is that it doesn't matter if you're in, like, New York City or London, or you're in, like, backcountry Arkansas, the community has drama. Anytime you have people who are literally competing with other people to get other people naked to do things with them, or have sex with them, or touch their ass, or spank them, you're going to have this weird freaking competition. And I had someone get so mad at me because I called it, like, the African savannah. I'm like, you have basically the predators, you basically have the prey, and then basically have animals you coexist with. So, like, on the savannah, you know, there's the zebra, and zebras are around gazelles. They don't really freaking pay attention to the gazelles. But then there's the lions, and the lions want to eat them both. And so it's a weird dynamic, and I don't mean dynamic as in a power exchange dynamic, but it's a weird dynamic where, you know, if you're a male person and you're seeking female people, every male there is competition for you. And I'm not saying I think like that, but I'm saying you got to understand there's a lot of people that do think like that. So it's, you know, I found this out because I was like, I went in naive, like, no, that's not what's happening. That's dumb. Like, if someone had told me that, I would have been as mad at them as people were at me when I said it. Like, that's not how people are. That's crazy. But then I would notice little things happening. Like, I would talk to someone and, you know, talk to them maybe just innocently as a friend, but, you know, get to know them and stuff. And all of a sudden their ex-boyfriend would be telling people stuff about me, or their ex-dom in the community. This guy's dangerous. Watch out for him. He's, you know, he's going to end up hurting somebody or something. Still haven't, and that's fine. But, you know, obviously they had a personal vendetta. You know, they had a personal stake in me talking to their ex-sub or their ex-slave or whatever, you know, and it just kept happening, which is kind of the reason why we withdrew from the community, in a more local sense, because it just, it just wasn't worth it, man, because, you know, we would, people would create issues with other people because they were talking to somebody they wanted to talk to, or they were having sex with someone they wanted to have sex with, or they were playing with them. And, you know, if one person played with two people, all of a sudden those two doms or those two tops were pissed off at each other. And, you know, they were like, I'm going to dig shit up on him, and I'm going to dig shit up on you. And, you know, we're going to like try to entrap you into a situation. So if you don't look at it like that, you can go into some of these things being quite naive and quite unprepared for the things that happen and the things that go on. Beyond that, and again, that's kind of more of the situation, how it's charged. But beyond that, when you go into situations with BDSM and DS and things like that, you're not in a normal relationship. And I get people all the time tell me, well, DS is just like any other relationship. And if you think that, you're always going to fail at DS. You're always going to be naive. You're always not going to get the freaking point. But great, keep thinking like that. I can't change people's minds. All I can say is it's not a normal freaking relationship. It's something that's different. It's something that's added on. Again, I called it in one episode, like it's like relationships on hard mode. You've got the underlying relationship, and then you've got the DS stuff on top of that. The DS stuff can be a foundation for the relationship. It can be the entire relationship. It can be, you know, a good chunk of the relationship. It can be none of the relationship. You can have a relationship and then do the DS stuff outside of it. I can't, but some people can. So it's added on stuff. And I've had conversations with people, and there's I wrote a writing a very long time ago, and it was basically entitled, if you haven't violated consent yet, you're going to. And, you know, for people who are listening, most people are going to be fairly advanced into DS and BDSM, so I don't really need to explain it, but I'm going to anyway. But consent is basically what you agreed to do with someone. So if consent's violated, then someone did something with you you didn't agree with. Okay, so you have actors in the community and actors in on FetLife and actors in, you know, whatever dungeon you go to. You have people that are bad. Listen, we can't talk about, I mean, we can talk about the bad people, but I can't fix the bad people. I can't, the bad people are going to find a way around. They're going to find a way to do the things. All we can do is try to talk about it, make people aware. But one thing I've noticed that happened in our community is anybody who I saw as being potentially dangerous, playing loose, playing fast with things, like if I warned someone, that was the first freaking person they went and played with, the first person they went and did stuff with. It was like so wild to me. Like it was literally, and I think a lot of times it was that predator prey dynamic. It was the competition thing. If you're talking about this dude, you're worried about him, must mean he's good. I'm gonna go play with him, or this girl, or this person, whoever. Like if I said, don't play with that person, or hey, you know, you need to be kind of careful and negotiate a little bit better with this person. They don't understand consent and stuff. Bam. Like the next day they were playing with them. Didn't even, and then they'd come to me after the fact. Hey, I know you're the leader of the munches. This dude really did some stuff that wasn't right. And I would say, you know, that's just adding to the next person I'm going to tell, who's also not going to listen to me when I tell them that this person's probably playing a little loose and fast. People don't listen to that. People think that the competition dynamic's happening, and you know, it does a lot. And so it tends to make things go, be not taken seriously, I guess, in a bigger sense. But so there's people that are bad in the communities, and people we can't defend against them. We can, but like nothing I'm going to tell you is like how to fix somebody who's a bad person. I can't do that. But more often than not, it's not necessarily a bad person. It's a lack of acting correctly by one or both parties. And it's just like, I don't know any other way to phrase that that's not going to piss people off, but that's just what's happening. It's this, there's frenzy a lot of times that happens. There's, you know, hormones and body chemicals and, you know, blood flowing to different places that cause the, you know, people to not act in a logical manner. So there's that going on. Then you're trying to talk about things. And, you know, this is, again, one of my pet peeves I've been talking about on this podcast a lot, is that think people just define shit the way they want to define it. You know, if a cat walks up, you know, and people want to call it, you know, a box or a building, like people are just like, cool, that's the name of it now. Like, so like when you're talking about things, and I think I talked about this with a negotiation and consent episode, like you have to define things very precisely what you want and what they are. People are freaking horrible at doing that because, you know, I've had so many negotiations with people and I go down a path and they're like, I like being hit with a paddle. And then, you know, you're like, okay, cool. That should be fairly straightforward. If you're topping someone or you're a sadist and they tell you, I like being hit with a paddle. Cool. Okay. Where do they want to get hit at? That didn't say nothing about that. How hard? What's the safe word? How many times do you want to be hit? Is it okay to be hit with the flat side or the sharp side? Like what side can I hit you with? Can I hit you with the whip part on the end, the lanyard? There's so many little intricacies to it. And if you want someone to fall into that trap, you can absolutely set a trap for them. Hell, I've had people that I played with that said, I like being hit with a paddle or a cane or something. I pulled a paddle or a cane out and they're like, that ain't no paddle. That ain't no cane. Like, what do you call these things? Like it's like when I think when I did one of my books, I can't remember if it was the one on sadism or the one on scene negotiation. I literally put freaking pictures of these things in there because people were telling me like, well, that's not a whip. And like, that is a whip. Like, do you know how many different types of whips there are? There's, you know, the bull whip and the snake whip we tend to think of, but then also there's, you know, galley whips and cat of nine tails and, like, you know, there's a dragon tail. Is that a whip? I mean, people will not do the work to define these things. And also, like, if you're getting this information, you have to do the work to define it back to the person. So, you know, it's worthwhile to put things in front of people to draw the damn picture because they don't get what you're trying to talk about. So that's another reason why things go wrong so often is just we have a difference of language. So I think in that episode where I talked about negotiation and scene construction, I think I talked about like degradation. Maybe I didn't, but I talked about different examples of people saying, well, I'll do this and I'll do that. Well, present them back to them. You know, when someone says I'll do anything, you know, the funny thing that I talked about in that episode was, well, okay, which finger do you want cut off? And they're like, oh, I won't do anything. I'm just kidding. Like, okay, now we can negotiate from honesty here. What can I actually do? You know, and this goes to topping and sadism and masochism and bottoming. And that's fine. If you're a logical person and you go into one of these scenes that's constructed like that, you know, don't go too far. I've had people write me messages and say, you know, doms and tops and sadists and say, I've got this scene planned. Can I run it by you? And, you know, before I did coaching and stuff, like I would entertain these people almost endlessly and it would be so many messages per day. And finally, I just got to where I just didn't do it anymore, especially because I didn't get anything out of it. They didn't listen to me and it was not fulfilling for me. But people would come to me with these scenes and they would be like, okay, I'm going to do this. And then if she does this, I'm going to do this. And then, but if she does this other thing, I'm going to do this. And then I'm going to do this thing. And then we're going to move outside of that room and into another room. And we're going to do this thing. And then I'm going to get another person and they're going to come in and we're going to do this thing. And I would say, like, why don't you just do one of them things first? Like, and this wouldn't be like a scene with someone they had been with for years. This was like the third time we met, I'm going to do this scene. And I would just say, look, it's too much complexity. You don't want that much complexity in a scene if you're gonna do that, especially with someone you don't know so well. You don't want things that can go wrong. It's like the axiom, I guess, in business and manufacturing, which I was in for so many years. Like, the more complicated a system is, the more failure points it has. So if you set this up like, you know, like people don't think about this stuff. There was, I don't remember who did it, and I don't want to like name names because there's just no sense in it. But someone was on FetLife complaining about a rope injury. Okay. It was like the first time they had tied with this person. And this was as much the bottom's fault as the top's fault because the bottom kept asking for more. And by the way, that's a very good point. You don't have to do everything your bottom asks for. You're the top. If you don't feel comfortable doing the 80 things they want, do 6 of them. You know, if they can't deal with that, let them go play with someone and be dangerous to someone else. But this rope bottom had kept asking for more shit to be done, and they were already in a hanging tecatecote. So it's not like they were in, you know, some basic floor tie and they asked for shit. Like, they were in a TK tie, suspended, and then they wanted weight put on them, and then they wanted this other thing done, and this other thing done. I'm sorry if this is you I'm talking to, but, like, I'm not making fun of you. I'm just saying that you create your own complexity, which creates your own problems. So this person kept asking for more and more and more, and then they were shocked when they were injured. And it was like, really? Like, how many more things were you going to add, you know, before you got injured? Like, it's just too much stuff, you know? So, like, people escalate too quickly. You can do this in steps. You don't have to go, you know, all the way up to 11 very first time. You know, you can start at 1. You can even go to 10 and you know, after several times and stay at 10. You don't have to try to crank up the intensity every single time. That's fun to do, yes, if you're confident in it and you're measured about it. But if you're not, or you're just doing it the very first time, things are going to happen. So we've spent a lot of this podcast, or I have rather, I should say, talking about scenes and play and masochism and sadism and top and bottoming. So I promised you in the title, in particular, why DS goes wrong. So this is a subject that's, I would say, near and dear to my heart, but it's so far away from my heart, and I freaking hate this subject so much. Basically, if you're in a DS relationship with anyone, think about this for a minute. How are you going to explain it to vanilla people? How would you explain it to the cops? How would you explain it to a judge? This is one thing we don't think about in DS and BDSM very much, but in DS in particular, you know, how many, I can't recall how many 48 hours and datelines and 2020s I've watched where it was a murder mystery where everyone in this person's life said, that guy or that girl that we suspect was very controlling of this person. They controlled their money and where they went. And a lot of this is like, I'm like, were they in a DS relationship? I mean, because it kind of sounds like that. If it's not consensual, it's not DS. Obviously, I shouldn't have to say that, but I'm going to say that. So in some of these instances, no, the person was just an asshole. They were just controlling, or they were just bad. But think about your DS. If you broke up with your partner, how would they describe it? You know, you could describe almost any submissive as codependent. There's a lot of mental health issues that go around in our community. I'm not making judgment on that. I have my own. I'm with people who have their own. But there's a lot of mental health things that come into play. There's, if you're with any dominant, if you are dominant, how do you explain if your sub mysteriously disappeared and they came and interviewed you and they were like, well, all of her friends, her vanilla friends say that, you know, you're very controlling and you don't, you know, she doesn't even have her own checking account. You know, you do this and you do that. Like, how are you going to explain that? So it's very easy because, like, I've been in these situations and not, you know, not where I've been accused of anything, you know, malevolent, but like being too controlling, not being patient enough, not forcing people into stuff, but like expecting them to. Like, anyone who knows me knows that's not me. Anyone who knows me intimately knows that I go at the pace I feel the other person can go at. Sometimes I've been abso-freaking-lutely wrong about that pace. Sometimes I've thought the pace that they could go at was higher, and everything that they told me and consented to and reacted to and said and did and everything else portrayed that. But then during the breakup, they like to tell people, well, that, like, I didn't want to do that. But you consented to it, right? You consented to it. I asked you several times, do you consent to that? I asked you several times, is this something you're capable of doing? I saw you were not capable of doing it. I removed it. And then all of a sudden that was a problem. You told people you didn't want to ever do that. Like, this is why you have to have someone you trust in DS. If you have someone that you trust doing these things with, like, is just a lot different. It's I've been with my one partner for almost 9 years, and I've been with my slave for almost three. These are people that I trust implicitly, but you tend to get fooled because you trust these people because they don't, they're telling you the honest truth. So when they come to you and they say, hey, I want to do, you know, needle play, or I want, you know, to have my, you know, diet controlled, or I want to do this. They come to you and you know they're coming to you honestly. They want this, and it's something they feel they can do, and something that if they fail at, they're not fucking going to blame you the next day. And it's just, it's something that people don't understand. And you think you can trust some people because you've got people around you you can trust that do the good things, that are trustworthy, that do communicate honestly. And then when you get someone who doesn't, it just, you know, brain does not register, like does not compute. Like I don't understand why this person's asking me for things and then I'm giving them to them. They can't do them. And then they run off and tell people that it's harming them. So when you're in DS, you can get in these situations very, very easily. I've learned over the years not to get in these situations. I've learned, you know, that when someone asks me a question, and this goes back to like the scene stuff, if someone makes a request, like, I want to do this, you don't have to do that. As the dominant, you can say no. You can control the pace. You're the freaking leader. You decide what happens and when it happens. And I don't mean that in like a non-consensual way. If someone comes to you and they consent to something, you don't have to do that. You still have say. You have to consent to do that too. People forget this as dominants and tops. We have to consent to the thing too. Just because the sub or the bottom or the masochist consents to something doesn't mean us as the doms or the tops or the sadists have to. We are the ones put in control of doing the thing. We're the ones given the power, even if it's temporarily, even if it's for a scene, or it's for a lifetime. We're given that power. So when someone comes to me, and this wasn't true in my younger days when I was in my early 30s and just getting started in BDSM and DS, but it's freaking true now. So when someone comes to me and they're new and they ask for something, I weigh that and I measure that against what they've asked for in the past. If you ask me to control this one thing and I control that, are you letting me have control or are you fighting me? If you're fighting me, I'm damn sure not going to take more control. I'm probably going to take less. I'm probably going to give you I'm definitely going to give you back the thing you tried to give me control for. I'm going to give it back. I'm going to say, if you can't abide by what you've promised, then I don't want to do what I promised. Like your promise and my promise are contingent upon each other. It's a contract. You give me control, I take the control, I do the care and the leadership and the decisions and things with that control. And if that's something you don't want, then you don't have to do it. Like, and that's the other thing too. People will, in DS, they will claim you broke up with them because you didn't have enough control over them. I've literally never broken up with anyone because I didn't have control over them. I take the control that people give. I don't take control that I take. So if people, like, there's things I don't get involved with at all. Like, I try not to get involved with kids. Like, if you're my submissive and you've got kids that aren't my kids, I don't want to tell you things about those kids unless you ask me things. Like, I don't want to try to interfere with that relationship. That's just, it's off limits. I don't try to interfere with work things because that's someone's livelihood. If they break up with you, they still have to have a job. I don't want to be that person that caused them trouble at their job. Family, friends, you know, unless it's causing severe mental harm, I don't want to be involved in that kind of stuff. But people will try to push that. Submissives will try to push that upon you, especially if they have mental health issues. And this is horrible to say. They will try to push the things that are causing their mental health issues on you to fix. But that is one of my biggest freaking pet peeves in DS that there is we don't fix people. People's therapists and their psychiatrists and the medicine and therapy and whatever else they have to do that from professionals, that's what fixes people. Not dominance and not sex and not dick and not pussy. It's the people who are professionally trained to do those things. And again, people get on to me and you know, obviously a lot of the DS and BDSM stuff can be cathartic. It can be helpful, but it's helpful temporarily. And I've had people try to use me as a therapists with a paddle or therapists with a collar and a leash. I cannot express how much hatred I have for doing that. Not necessarily the people who do it, but because they don't realize sometimes what they're doing. But the hatred I have for that situation is, there's not enough words for it in the English language. It's just, it's one of those situations, and people still perpetuate this myth. Doms still go looking for mental health affected submissives, or mental health affected dominants for submissives looking for, I mean, for dominants looking for, it just, the whole thing is just crazy to me. But people will search out people with weaknesses. If you have weaknesses, you have weaknesses. If you're working on those weaknesses, that's not a weakness anymore. That's something you're working on. If your weakness is appealing to someone, that's, it's just horrible to me that people have that. Like, they want people who are damaged because they're easier to control. I don't want easy control. I want control that someone wants to give me. That's not easy control. Easy control is the control someone has to give you. Like, there's a difference between want to and need to. If someone can't survive without your control, that's not a healthy situation. If they can survive, but they want to give it to you because they have power and they would like to give you that power, that's called DS. So I don't know what else to say about that topic. It's just the fact that there's so many intricacies to these things, and there's so many, you know, taboo vanilla stuff that doesn't, you know, get talked about in the vanilla world, but is part of the DS world that people don't understand actually happens. So it's very easy to twist things and make things look worse than they are. But the bottom line is just that DS is harder. It's harder. BDSM is harder. Relationships are hard to begin with. When you add all these things together, it's a cocktail for chaos, especially if you have people who aren't trustworthy doing it with you. Again, I'm no expert. I can claim that I have, you know, 9 years and 3 years, like I said earlier. Those 9 years and 3 years weren't, like, not all that stuff's always easy. Like, people just take for granted that those relationships are easy. They take a lot of work. They take a lot of honesty. They take a lot of introspection. If you can't do those things, I'm not saying you can't be in DS, but boy, you're going to have some freaking trouble. So I wish people would be more honest in their dealings when they're doing things that are this higher level. But unfortunately, some people aren't, and they're never going to be. And there's nothing we can really do about that except try to suss out if we want to interact with those people or have them interact with us, or we want to kind of not. So anyway, that's the episode for today. I hope you all enjoyed it. Talked about some deep stuff, but stuff that I guess probably needed to be talked about. So with that, I'm going to sign off. Until next time, this is Rope Tiger Daddy.